Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here, and we want to welcome those of you who are listening or will be listening around the world as we post these on our website, sojournershub.org. We want to say a special hello to the people in Kenya, East Africa, in this session. We just want to welcome you and say that we are so glad that you could listen to these along with other people around the world and enjoy listening and learning as we study the Word of God. We're going to be thinking in terms of the love connection, actually the greatest love connection in this session. And our scripture is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. Jesus is speaking here, and of course I'm reading from the New International Version because the English here is used in such a way as to allow all English-speaking people around the world equal understanding of the words used. So again, this is the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my commandment. Love each other." Love. What a word. Today in our society, love has come to have so many meanings, it can be difficult to know just what the word actually does mean. Often, when a word meets this fate, we must resort to context in which to use, you know, it's which it's used, just to find out the meaning of it, just to fine-tune it and get down to some idea, what does the word mean? So we listen for the context of it. So in this fine-tuning, the meaning to our personal understanding then can come out. This method of defining a word can even go astray if we put our own hopes, desires, aspirations into the meaning that really a meaning that might not even have been intended by the person who said the word love. I think all many people have to do is remember back to maybe their teenage years, and they were wondering, does somebody love me? They wanted to feel loved. They wanted to feel cared for. But love then can mean many different things in that context, and in many other contexts it can have many different meanings to that word. Some may say, "I love you," but that can be misinterpreted when the hearer puts into the statement a meaning not intended. When I was studying in the university, I learned the more important a word was to a people, the more words, or more specific words, a language had in it for a particular topic to prevent misunderstanding and to protect both the speaker and the hearer. I was told, for example, Eskimos have over 30 words for snow so as to be very specific as to what kind of snow was coming. An accurate meaning of the word snow to an Eskimo could mean life or death. The word snow was therefore an important word. We have many words for snow in the English language. We have snow flurries, we have blizzard, we have snowing cats and dogs. We have all sorts of words to describe snow, but we do not have over 30 words because snow is not as important to us as it would be somebody who is an Eskimo near the North Pole, near those northern regions where the weather can change rapidly and it could be life or death to them. So they have to know exactly what it means. The word love can be very easily misunderstood. Actually, a person could determine that in the English language, the word love was not very important, since the one word covers so many different emotions and even opinions. You say opinions? Well, yes. You know, I love that color. I just love that jacket. I loved that movie. I just love them are some examples. And what does it mean? What is the difference between... So we have to then search for the context in which it was said, because, frankly, from my point of view, we overuse the word love to the point that, in many ways, it doesn't really have that much meaning to people. And that could be really unfortunate. So it is a little challenging to grasp what the word love means exactly when it is used for so many different expressions. Now, given these uses of the word love, it is easy to see how hearing someone say, God is love, or God loves you, might carry, you know, great meaning to the hearer, or it might carry little meaning to the hearer, or it might take a confused meaning to the hearer, depending on how they have heard the word love used. But I'm here to tell you, the greatest love connection is that of God to mankind via Jesus the Christ. You can't get a better love connection than that. You see, God loved man from the very beginning. He created man in His image. He gave man a special place. He gave man special authority and abilities. He gave man a whole planet. Started him out in a garden. And then his real intention was that man would expand from that garden and spread what was in that garden over the whole planet. And then sin got involved and messed that up. So man was taken from the garden, and you can read about that in the book of Genesis. And therein brought about some problems when man turned over to Satan, who has no love for any of mankind. He comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. Now, why is destroy after kill? You say, gee, you think kill would be the most important thing there. No, no. He steals from you, just as he stole from Adam and Eve by deceiving them. He steals by deception. What he stole from them was their authority over the planet, and he took authority over the planet. Then he wanted to kill them, and actually did do that with one of their sons. But the destroy is to destroy your relationship with God for eternity. He wants to utterly destroy you. God, on the other hand, still loves you. He's always loved us. He's loved us from the very beginning, and He's not going to stop loving us. So the greatest love connection is that of God to mankind via Jesus the Christ. Our scripture brings this out so clearly. When the Apostle John recorded the words of Jesus in chapter 15 of his gospel, Jesus made it very clear the importance of the word love when it came to God and God's kingdom. The command Jesus spoke of in John 15:12 was the command to love. Love is used by God. It is used by God, and it is the very essence of God, because we are told in Scripture that God is love. So it would seem only right that if God is love, love should be involved there. Jesus, when He fulfilled the law, He gave us a commandment here, because He knew He would be fulfilling the law. And so He gave the commandment to love each other. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. And we are to love each other. because that is what is truly godly. When Jesus spoke in the next verse, in verse 13, he said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." Now, he also said he didn't call us servants anymore. And the word servants there in the original Greek was actually slaves. But he called us friends. He called us friends that we would be intimate together as friends are, that know each other and know about what each other's doing and care about and for each other. When Jesus gave up his life on the cross, he was proving the meaning of the word love and what it means to God. John 3:16, as we most of us know, says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have eternal life. Some translations say everlasting life. Let me tell you, it is a long time without time. It is an existence with God forever. Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses so we would not have to live lives striving for a target we could never hit. We could never hit the target of the law that was given to Moses. We could never hit that. But the law was given to us really as a schoolmaster so that we could learn those things that pleased God. And Jesus fulfilled all of that, knowing that without him doing that, we would never have been restored as we have, as all mankind has, to the Creator, to God that created us. Godly behavior comes from following Jesus' commandment in John 15:12. And what is that? "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." We are to love each other just as he loves us. Any godly behavior, a behavior that engages in and is not to pay the price. You see, when we engage in good behavior, listen very carefully to me here. When we as believers, when a believer, if you're not a believer, but when a perhaps, but when a believer engages in good behavior, it is not to pay the price for their missing the mark, falling short, which is really what the word sin means, but it's a thank you card, a love offering to God for the gift of grace given not just the day they accepted Christ. Now listen to me here. Grace is not just for the day that you accept Christ, but for all the breaths granted to anyone, including you, until you pass into eternity with Christ. Now think about that. Grace is every single day. Every single day. Have you ever known somebody that you liked, but they were high, what I would call a high-maintenance friend? You had to overlook a lot of things that they did, but you were still willing to be their friend. But you, many, many times you overlooked and overlooked and overlooked. They would say things that were maybe not kind, or they did acts that weren't very kind to people and or to you, but for whatever reason, you just overlooked them over and over and over again. You see, you were showing them continual grace. That's what God shows us. I don't think we have to think very far in our own lives, even from day to day sometimes, when we would think, well, it probably wasn't too pleasing to God. What we did there probably wasn't really lovely. It really wasn't out of love. It really wasn't the thing that God would have had us do. And there again, we missed the mark. But the grace that's brought to us through Christ covers that. It's a marvelous thing. Not understanding grace is to not understand the new creature a believer becomes at the moment Christ is accepted. Let me say that again. Not understanding grace is to not understand the new creature a believer becomes at the moment Christ is accepted. The Scripture tells us that, behold, all things are passed away. All things become new when we accept Christ. Not understanding the place of grace and the empowerment via the Holy Spirit to share the message of grace by love conferred on every believer is indeed a sad thing. Do you understand that your opportunity to share the gospel with people is your opportunity to share God's love and God's grace with them? And not understanding what that could be. Remember that Jesus said over there that if we bore fruit, then the Father would give us whatever we asked in His name. Perhaps if you're not having some of your prayers answered, you might want to look at how much fruit have you borne. Bearing fruit is very important to God. As a matter of fact, why would you have a garden if it weren't to bear some kind of fruit? He put Adam and Eve in a garden, and it bore fruit. Can you imagine just walking along and picking berries and fruit and nuts, and all your food just would just pull off into your hand and you could eat it? No chemicals on it. Didn't even have to wash it off. Clean as could be. There it was. That was all by God's love. And when a person accepts Jesus, your relationship with God goes back to that same relationship that Adam and Eve had in the garden. What a wonderful thing. So I'll say it again. Not understanding the place of grace and the empowerment via the Holy Spirit to share the message of grace. Sharing the message of grace, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that. But if you never step out to do it, you never experience the empowerment. If you got in your car, turned on the engine, but never put your foot on the gas pedal, you'd never experience what it was like for the car to move. Oh, you would hear it. You would hear the engine. You might feel the heat coming from the heater or the air conditioner. You might put the windows up and down. You might be able to look out. If it rained, you might turn on the windshield wipers, or for those of you in the UK, the wipers over the windscreen. But you would never experience the real power that the car was meant to have. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what I'm talking about here. And it's very sad for a person not to understand the message of grace by love conferred on every believer through Christ and His Holy Spirit that comes into a believer. This I know is not possible. I know this. It's not possible to give away what one does not possess. You can't give away something you don't have. If you have never really understood grace, you can't give away the understanding of grace that God has if you've never received it. How can you describe something that you've never seen, touched, tasted, felt, experienced, or whatever? How could you ever explain it to somebody? You can't. You can't give it away. You can't even give away the concept of that. So it's very important to understand and to reach out and to accept the grace offered through love. Perhaps some who are Christian by philosophy, and I put Christian there in quotes, by philosophy, which is salvation by works, which is not God's plan, rely on behavior and judgment rather than being Christian by relationship, which is the salvation given by God. This is God's plan, relationship, not philosophy. Some people say, well, I'm a Christian and I've never experienced healing, and they start telling you all the rules, or maybe God's trying to teach me something, or maybe I've been bad. They don't understand grace. They've never understood grace. Now, are we going to condemn them? No. We need to talk to them about grace. We need to explain grace to them. They need to know exactly what grace is and what the grace is that God has for them. And that grace comes to them because of the greatest love connection mankind can ever know. And that's the connection between God and man. So people who are Christian by philosophy have never understood grace. And thus they're unable to give or to show to others the grace, the undeserved favor of God through Christ's love. And God gives this so freely to those who accept Him and His great love gift. Now, you know, what I'm talking about here, a lot of people would say, well, just exactly, I'm just talking about what is called evangelizing. We make evangelizing into something that it's not. Evangelizing is just loving on people. Not to evangelize is not to love people. Not to give out the gospel is almost to hate people. Now think about this for a second. If you saw somebody coming down the street, and there was a car careening down through there at 100 miles an hour, and you knew that you could grab them and pull them away, and you didn't do it, would you love them or hate them? You'd say, well, I just didn't get involved. Oh, then you certainly didn't love them. Evangelizing is loving on people. It is your loving them enough to tell them about God's love for them, to restore them to the same relationship that Adam and Eve had in the garden with God. The same relationship with the Creator. And not only that, but is then to make them a new creature that is not of this world. All things will become new to them. The gospel will no longer, and the word of God will no longer seem foolishness to them, because their eyes will be opened, their spiritual eyes will be opened, and they can see and they can understand. Now then, let me see. Who would want you or I not to tell people about the love of God and His plan for them? Then we'd have to say to ourselves, if we're not willing to tell people about the greatest love connection, then who do we serve? If we are brought into this relationship with God, as Jesus said here, to bear fruit, and we don't bear fruit, who would not want us to bear fruit? Then who are we listening to? Who are we following? Who are we attached to? And it's easy sometimes to be attached by deception and not know it. You can spend your whole life thinking you're attached to God and never be. Because it's a philosophical thing. But in a relationship thing, you have to tell a person you love that you love them. Have you ever loved somebody that you thought you would burst if you didn't tell them that you loved them? If you didn't tell them that you cared about them? If Jesus walked into the room with you and you're a believer, would you let Him know that you loved Him? How would you relate? Well, if God is love, we must then walk in love. We must have our whole goal to be to walk in the greatest love connection, to spread the greatest love connection, to expand the greatest love connection, because that is to walk with God and expand His kingdom. And that is God's will. Now, if you've never accepted Christ, and suddenly you're hearing this and this begins to make sense to you, then pray this prayer with me right now. Just say, Heavenly Father, I come to You now. I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want to be in Your kingdom. I want to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. I want all old things to pass away. I want everything to become new with Me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the family. You're not a creature that you were just a moment ago. Not only that, but the Scripture tells us that the angels in heaven are right now rejoicing because of what you just did. They're having a party, a celebration in heaven right now for you. If you say, well, I did that once and it's been so long and I've just sort of drifted away and I really haven't understood, or I haven't really shown the love that I needed to show. I haven't shared the love connection through Christ. Well, you can change that right now. You just go to the Father. you pray to Him, ask Him, say, Father, I'm sorry. I'm back. I'm back. He will instantly welcome you. Now, there are some things that if you've never prayed the prayer before, you just came back, that you may need to do. One of those things is you may need to contact me. You can phone me in the United States at 800-391-6944. Around the world or the United States, you can go onto a computer if you have Skype. If you don't have Skype, then put Skype on your computer and contact me, the Sojourner 3734. I'll be glad to talk with you, work with you, get information to you, do anything I can. Or you can send me an email, the Sojourner. Sojourner, by the way, is spelled S-O-J-O-U-R-N-E-R. So send me an email at thesojourner@sojournershub.org. I'll be glad to work with you. We'll be glad to help you. We'll be glad to help you grow. We'll be glad to help you learn anything that we can do to help you in your walk with Christ. Remember the greatest love connection. You can be or you are a part of it. The choice is yours. Jesus paid the price for the whole field, my friend, and you are in that field. The price has already been paid. You don't have to be a goody two-shoes to get in. What you have to do, what is necessary to do, is just accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're in. So now in closing, let me give you this blessing, and this comes from my heart, and that will close this session. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.